Hey, welcome to Kiss the Crest, a weekly podcast where we talk about football news, football scores.
Bonaventura jerseys.
Bonaventura jerseys.
Yeah, man.
A very specific thing.
That's all I want now.
As usual, I'm your host, Sean Thomas.
I'm Dave Linata.
I'm Rob Steller.
This is the week of January 31st, and as usual, we're going to start with all of the weekend and midweek games. So this weekend, we had all the major leagues in action, and we also had a bunch of cup games during the week. So we'll catch you up on that, and then we'll move on to our topic for the day, which is about the loans, the transfer window that just, I don't know why I said loans, the whole transfer window that we just closed up, the January transfer window. We'll see what happened, what didn't happen. Spoiler alert, nothing really happened. But we'll talk about it anyway and see what that means for this, I guess, the next 6 months or so of football. Let's get into it. Okay, we'll start off in Germany where, a lot of stuff happened. At this point, I know you've been saying this. Okay, Bayern Munich won, Dortmund won. Right now, we're looking at the table. There's an 8-point gap between Munich and Dortmund. I really thought there was at some point that Dortmund could maybe catch up to Munich, but at this point, it's just not going to happen. And it's also crazy seeing the drop-off, just looking at goal difference. Well, just on points difference. Dortmund is 8 points behind Munich, and Hertha Berlin is 10 points behind Dortmund. And in goal difference, Munich is at 41, Dortmund is at 28, and Hertha Berlin is at 8. So the difference is just astronomical. Nobody's going to catch Bayern Munich. Borussia Dortmund is still doing well. They both registered, I believe, 2-0 victories. And so they're both looking good, but really the real test is Champions League. We got to see, you know, will Pep go out in a high note or not? And then Dortmund, I don't know, preparing themselves for Champions League next year, see what transfers they can get. But honestly, same as always, Bayern Munich and Dortmund are winning, and they're doing well. So let's move on.
Yeah, over to France, same thing. PSG kept their unbeaten streak alive with a 2-0 win. Ibra had two goals. And Monaco actually lost to Angers 3-0.
Wow.
So PSG is on top of the table by 24 points.
What? How is that possible?
I feel like it gets even larger than 3 points.
PSG is 21 wins, 3 draws, and 0 losses. The second place team has 9 draws and 4 losses.
Okay, let's give percentage chances. What do you think the chances that PSG will go undefeated?
100%.
100%?
100%?
Really? 100%.
Okay.
Ouch. They're going to do it.
It's probably in the 80s.
Yeah, I'd probably go. Well, honestly,
how many games did they draw?
Three.
Okay. No, 100%. They're going to do it.
100%.
That's crazy. They're close to almost all wins. Three draws is nothing.
So it's almost perfect.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that one game after Champs League that they got to play that, you know, they don't play anybody that they could slip up.
That doesn't count for Champs League.
No.
Only in the league. Only in the league.
Yeah.
Because Champs League is still going to be super duper tough. I mean, they got to play Chelsea. Well, we'll talk about it, but Chelsea's terrible, so they'll probably get on to the next stage, but I don't think they're good enough to win it yet. But I wouldn't go as so high as 100%. Maybe I'll be with Dave 80%. Maybe a little lower.
I mean,
but
just looking at their fixtures, they play Marseille on the 7th. They play Lyon in the Cup. I guess we can't really talk about Cups either.
Yeah, like no, cups. Just the league.
No, just the league. Just league.
So they got Marseille and Lille coming up, their next two league games, and then they have Chelsea right after that. The thing is they have like 3 days between games. So they have like 3 games, Marseille on the 7th, Lyon on the 10th, Lille on the 13th, and then Chelsea on the 16th. So all within 3 games. That's pretty crazy.
But they'll just have their B-team players, and they'll still...
4 games in 12 days.
Oh, my God.
That's kind
Look
of
at the goal difference. The goal difference for second place is 7. Granted, okay, there are 2 teams that have a 10 goal difference, so that's like the tie for the second best goal difference in the league. They're at 50. So they are 5 times greater than the second place in terms of goal difference.
Pretty
that
accurate.
Is freaking insane.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
So that's all for France. We'll go over to Robbie.
So much in Italy. So we had 2 rounds because we had a midweek round. So let's start with the weekend. So Saturday, January 30th, Carpi and Palermo 1-1, Atalanta and Sassuolo 1-1. Roma got a 3-1 victory over Frosinone. And I will say, I think it was El Shaarawy's debut there, and he had a very nice little like behind the flick, like behind, flick, yeah, in,
ridiculous.
He learned from Ibra clearly when Ibra was at Milan. Oh
yeah, that is his thing.
So convincing win for Roma. They're on a hot streak right now. So we'll move to Sunday. Juve 4-0 over Chievo Verona. No surprises there. Bologna 3-2 over Sampdoria. Napoli 5-1 over Empoli. They are just scoring buckets, Sean. Buckets of goals. Higuain only had one game or one goal. Well, that
basically,
game.
They're on the downturn. Then it's
yeah,
just,
no, that's okay. It for them. Fiorentina dropped points again to Genoa 0-0. Hellas Verona 0-0 against Torino. Lazio and Udinese 0-0, looking very Italian in those games. The bigger.
Yeah, but speaking of that, like, when's the last time we've seen a team like Napoli be scoring like four goals almost every game?
Oh, I don't know. It's crazy. Maradona days, probably. So big match of the weekend was obviously the Milan Derby, which, you know, in the last few years.
It wasn't as expected.
No, absolutely not as expected. Clearly, I'm very excited about this result. I was going crazy. I think there was something, I think it's been 10 matches. In the last 10 matches, I think Milan has only won once, and neither team has scored more than one goal in a game. So it's been all 1-1, 0-0, 1-0.
Not anymore.
Not this time. Milan 3-0 over Inter.
That's not even close.
No. It was, they destroyed them. Like, it was the most convincing performance I think I had seen from Milan in gotten years. Sold out, I think near sold out, 77,000 people there, which was, you know, the San Siro has not been for either team, has not been sold out in a long time.
So
that was really good to see. Obviously, Inter's been on a serious slide after leading the league for a good chunk of the beginning half of the year. So they just continue to be on the downturn. Mancini got ejected, I think, like in the first half, maybe? I don't know. It was early on. Alex opened the scoring in the 35th. I think it was Bonaventura who put it into him. Great cross in. Baca slotted home from a cross in the 73rd. And then Yang, 77th minute, got the rebound from his own shot and scored.
Goal scorers.
It was incredible. So let's move on. I could talk about that all day, clearly.
Oh, no, the first goal was assisted by Honda.
Oh, Honda. That's right. Yeah. So Honda, interestingly enough, Honda's been getting chances now. So
that's the difference.
And between Honda and Bonaventura swinging in balls from the wing, they've had a lot of just really, really good chances. What are you laughing at?
Dave is laughing.
Rob is so excited for this.
It's amazing. Well, okay, when Man United starts playing good football again, you'll be excited too.
Definitely not.
So let's move on to the midweek games. February 2nd on Tuesday, Roma had a 2-0 win over Sassuolo. El Shaarawy getting another goal in the 94th minute. I will say, though, so they were leading most of the match. Salah scored in the 11th, who's also having a very, very good season for Roma. And just really talented player.
Where did he come from? Well, didn't he have a big transfer to...
Was he at Chelsea?
Who's it?
Yeah, Salah
was from Chelsea.
Yeah, he didn't play, though.
No, but he's a great player. So anyway, so Sassuolo... So I caught the last 40 minutes, 30 minutes of this match, and it was all Sassuolo pushing.
Really?
Yeah.
It was Chelsea, by the way. It was
for a year. It was... Sassuolo had all the pressure in the second half. I think they ended up outshooting them. And so El Shaarawy got a goal in the 94th, which was late. Like, it was kind of done at that point anyway, but I mean, that's two goals in two games for him.
Yeah. Seriously.
Which he's about to match. I will say, he is on loan though. So technically we still have him. Milan still has him. So that's kind of,
I can't tell. Are you happy or disappointed? Like,
I genuinely like him as a player and as an Italian soccer fan. I want him to do well for the national team, and he's been out, you know, just hasn't been getting many games, hasn't been
Monaco, he wasn't there.
No. He's been playing, he's been injured too much, you know, whatever it is. I kind of hope he does well, and either we get good money for him from Roma or we get him back and he's, you know, in better form. So
you think there's a possibility that he'll do well and he won't want to come back to Milan?
That's fine though, because then we'll sell him.
Oh, okay.
I mean, like I said, as long as he does it's a win-win. Right, we do, but we also have Niang, who's a young player who's doing really well. Baca's doing well. Menez is coming back. Balotelli's flopped, so he's out after this.
Oh man,
which is fine.
I know, but it's like,
interesting though, because Niang is built the exact same way as Balotelli, except the difference is Niang puts in 150% energy every single game, and Balotelli has never ever had
the
work.
Has he ever lit off fireworks in his bathroom?
No, that's no. Niang is the player that I think Balotelli should have been.
Yeah.
And Balotelli is more talented and has more power and stuff like that, but didn't have the mentality for it. So you know what? I'm fine with Niang coming up and staying in this position and doing well for us. So We have a bunch of, I mean, Rob Mignoli in defense. Obviously, Donnarumma's turning 17, I think, this week.
Yeah, didn't he? Oh, no, he didn't save a PK.
No, he missed. The PK was missed, yeah, this week. So
he put up the wall, and, yeah. You know, he scared him.
Yeah, he's a big boy. He's a big boy. So let's move on. Wednesday, we had our last group of fixtures for the round. Frosinone got a big win for them, 1-0 over Bologna. Empoli and Udinese, man, is having a tough season, 1-1. Fiorentina finally got a win, 2-1 over Carpi. Hellas Verona, 2-1 over Atalanta. Inter had a, slid by, 1-0 win. They needed that win, though, over Chievo Verona. Juve actually won 1-0 over Genoa on an own goal. So that was...
close.
Important for them to get that to keep up with Fiorentina. Napoli got another win over Lazio, 2-0. I think it was Higuain and
scored.
Callejon.
I don't think he got a brace, though.
Callejon got the other goal. Callejon, I think, had two over the weekend. So he's in pretty good form, too. And then Sampdoria, 2-2 with Torino. And then Milan, another shutout, 2-0 over Palermo. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Baca got another goal. 6-0.
They can't keep this streak up.
No, it's
impossible.
It's fine, man. I think we're on like 7 games unbeaten right now.
Wow.
Which is really good for us. I think we've won 4 out of those games. And, one of the draws was to Roma. So, honestly, that's pretty good. So, we got a couple big fixtures. Milan's played in Udinese this weekend, which should be decent. I mean, Udinese hasn't been that good. Juve has Frosinone, so that's probably a big win for them. Napoli's playing Carpi, so it's a numbers game, I think. How many goals are they going to score? Roma and Sampdoria, so there's a few good games to watch for this weekend. Let's look at the table. So Napoli is still in first by 2 points with 53 overall. Juve is back two with 51. Fiorentina is now 45, which puts them 6 points out of second and 8 points now out of first, which is looking more like a two-horse race now.
Yeah.
Inter drops to fourth. Actually, I don't know if they dropped. They might still be in fourth. 44 points. So they're only 1 point out of Champions League right now. Roma's back in fifth with 41. 4 points out of Champs League. Milan, 39. 6 points out of that Champs League spot. There's hope. There's hope for us still.
That's two wins and everybody else.
Lazio's down in ninth, 32. Udinese, 14th, 26. Carpi, Frosinone, and Hellas Verona in the drop zone right now.
And on an update on the top scorer list, so Higuain is at 23. And just Vardy party.
Does anybody have more goals than him in Europe right now? He's got to be one of the higher, right?
So I'm looking up. Vardy party has only has 18. Obviously, this is a little screwed up because they.
But Vardy also had that ridiculous goal.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. But obviously, not all these leagues have played the same number of games, so we can't really do it. But I don't have all the numbers like per game in front of me. But Higuain has 23. Ibra is top on the
France.
In France, and he only has 20 goals. Oh, I should just quickly mention too. Carlos Bacca is tied for second with Dybala, Adair.
And 12. Yeah, Higuain 12. Has 11 more goals than everyone else.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And let me just check.
Higuain basically, he almost has twice as much as the second place group there.
Let's see. Actually, yeah, he has more. Ronaldo is tied for top in La Liga, and him and Suarez have 19. So, yeah, Higuain right now out of the major leagues, he's the number one scorer overall.
Yeah.
It's crazy, especially because I think, when he left Madrid, it felt like he was on his downturn. I mean, Napoli's a decent club, but they're not Juventus. And, man, talk about a revival. He's going to be bought for sure this weekend. But anyway, we will move on to
this
the
weekend?
Week that...
The summer?
What?
The summer?
Oh, yeah, the summer. No, actually,
transfer window's over, Sean.
We'll move on to the league that contains his former club, Real Madrid. So over the weekend, we had some regular league matches. Real Madrid just thumped. Who did they actually play?
Thumped them.
They thumped. Oh yeah, Espanyol 6-0.
Buckets.
And it was just a ridiculous game. Goals and goals. Ronaldo had a hat trick. So it's interesting to see. So Ronaldo, obviously, there's this feeling of he's back. He got a hat trick. Like, that's really good. And it's good to see too because
where'd he go?
After they he was gone. He just walked away.
Oh.
There was a bit of a dip in form. And it's good to see him scoring again, especially Real Madrid. They drew last weekend. I don't know why I'm saying so positively, but they did this. The funny thing with Ronaldo, apparently it's something like 42% of his goals have come against Espanyol. Because he scored three goals this time, and he scored six goals or something ridiculous last time.
42%?
Something ridiculous. And he scored like six goals against Malmo. So basically a huge percentage of his total goals have been against Malmo and Espanyol. But anyway, they easily won. But the big game of the weekend, Atletico Madrid, Barcelona. Now, this was at home for Barcelona. It was at the Camp Nou. And this was a big game. You know, this... Atleti was tied. Granted, they had a game in hand, but they were tied on points with Barcelona. Started out crazy. Like, the start of the game, Atleti came out of the blocks just ready to play. They were doing so much better. I mean, we looked absolutely horrible. They were passing around. They pressurized us every time we got the ball. Literally, anytime one of us got the ball, there were three of them on us. And usually we could play around the pressure, but they were just doing an extremely good job of it. We could not get the ball out of our half, basically. Or when we did, we just lost it in stupid possession. They had one really good chance with Raul. It was going to the top corner, but Bravo had a really good save to keep him out. But eventually the defense broke down. There was a cross into the middle of the box, and I forgot who scored it, but... it ended up being 1-0 to the visitors, and it looked like they were ready to score buckets of goals. Like, they were on top. Eventually, around the 30-minute mark, we started settling the game down, and we started getting good possession. We ended up scoring two goals within 8 minutes of each other. Messi had a goal from the outside. It was a great play. Almost one-touch passing. I think it was one or two-touch. Mascherano to Alba to Messi, and then... Mascherano to Neymar to Alba to Messi. And then Suarez, man, his goal. Basically, Dani Alves was on the right side. He had this really long ball, perfect to Suarez. And Suarez played as a striker should play. He held it up, and the defender was right on him. So he, like, this was decent defending, and he just slotted it in between. I think it was in between the legs of Oblak. So it ended the first half. They were playing really aggressive, as they normally do. But it ended up the first half. There were a couple of yellows, but it was 2-1 for Barcelona. Second half starts off. And I don't think it was that long after the start. I'll have to check. Freaking Felipe Luis he just kicks right at Messi's leg. Granted, he didn't.
Yeah, it was
bad. Yeah, he didn't hit his leg that hard. But if he had made contact, that would have been like a season-ending injury. It was terrible, and it was so blatant, like the ball wasn't even close. It was terrible. Straight red, totally deserved. I don't know what the hell he was thinking. He's a veteran defender. I don't know what he was doing. I mean, I think it was more the pressure was getting to him. We were doing better. Although the funny thing is, Atleti actually started off the second half really well as well. Anyway, they went down to 10 men. So that was not a good sign. And then eventually there was another who's the Uruguayan defender? Godin had a tackle on Suarez. It was clear he was already on a yellow. It was a bad tackle because the ball was clearly out of the way.
Dive.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a dive. So anyway, he ended up getting another yellow card. They were down to 9 men. So at this point, I mean, what are you going to do? The crazy thing is Barcelona still didn't look that good. It almost looked like they were phoning the game in. I don't know why. We really weren't playing well. But honestly, when you're down to 9 men, the chances of you getting it in. There was a Griezmann chance. He did everything right, but Bravo somehow saved it with his feet. And anyway, the game ended up 2-1, victory going to Barcelona. This is huge because this ends up meaning that we're 3 points ahead of Atleti
with a game
and a game in hand. So that's really big. So head-to-head, we're above them and all that good stuff. Obviously, not great for Atleti, but they looked really good. And we honestly looked a little tired. I don't know what that meant. I don't know if we, you know, turned the burners off because we knew we were up or what. But this was actually a really good game, still ending up on the good side for us. So looking at the table, Barcelona's on top with 51 points with a game in hand. Atleti is in second with 48 points, and Real Madrid is at 47 points. So Real Madrid, I mean, for whatever reason, nobody's giving Atletico a chance. But let's say that Real Madrid are the real second-place chance holders or whatever. They're still 4 points back, and with a game in hand, that means potentially they could be 7 points back, which is huge. Now, one thing for those who want to know, update, Felipe Luis should have kept the three-match ban, but for whatever reason, they reduced it to one-match ban. I have no idea why, but whatever, shit happens. So then moving on to, there were Copa del Rey games. So Sevilla played Celta de Vigo, which, you know, Celta de Vigo started out the season doing pretty well. They ended up winning 4-0, so that's pretty heavy Sevilla being favorites. We had to play Valencia. Now, a lot of talk has been Valencia with Gary Neville not doing well. They haven't had a single win in the league since Gary Neville started.
That's so bad.
We played them at home 7-0. Oof. Suarez netted 4. Messi had a hat trick. None of them, as far as I know, were PKs. They were all open field goals. It's ridiculous. So, honestly, next game, there's no chance. I mean, yeah, it's going to be at the Mestalla, but there's no chance they're going to come back and win with 8 goals. So, and honestly, Sevilla being up 4 goals is looking like the finals of the Copa del Rey is going to be Barcelona-Sevilla. So it'll be interesting to watch. I actually don't remember. Who did Atletico lose out to? I don't even remember. They lost out to Celta Vigo because they lost the second game.
That's funny.
Yeah, so whatever. Stuff happens. So I guess we'll have that to look forward to. But it looks like the league is Barcelona's to lose. I don't see how anyone's going to mount a real race unless Barcelona starts losing games. And looking at this weekend, doesn't seem like any big games. All fairly easy teams, so it should be wins for the major teams, but we'll see. Barcelona's playing at 6 a.m. here. I don't know why. But anyway, we'll move on to the final league, the Premier League.
So the FA Cup games, there really weren't any big upsets this weekend for the FA Cup games. Most of the top clubs got pretty comfortable wins. Everton 3-0 over Carlisle. Chelsea got a 5-1 win. Man U beat Derby. City won by, I think, 3 or 4. So we'll go to the league games, really, that happened the beginning of this week.
Vardy.
Yeah.
The Vardy party, baby.
Vardy.
Anyway, so we'll start with that then.
Leicester
got a 2-0 victory over Liverpool, which is a big team for them to play. They got a couple big games.
They're in the stretch right now, right? Yeah. So they have City. I think they have Arsenal right after City. Yeah, City they had Liverpool. So this is the stretch that if they come out and are still on top of the league, then you even now you can't say they don't have a genuine chance.
Start with this game.
So it was all Leicester. Leicester had the pressure. They had the shots. Yeah. They had everything going for them. They just were playing great football.
Yeah.
Vardy off the bounce, outside of the box.
They've beaten some big teams. They've beaten City. They beat Arsenal, right?
So Vardy had the shot outside. It was just an over-the-top ball way down the field, which is what he plays onto, right? Ball bounces once just outside of the penalty box. Off the volley, off the bounce, hits it over, beats Mignolet in near post in the
lucky
corner.
Strike.
People were comparing it to Dele Alli's goal. I think Dele Alli's was still better.
This is context of this goal makes it, if they win the league, this is goal of the season. This is ridiculous. And then he comes up, I think Okazaki had a shot that was deflected and went right into his path for the second goal, I think around the 71st minute or so. But just a great performance. Ranieri has to be coach of the year across Europe right now.
I don't even know how he's doing this.
It's unbelievable. He's moneyballing this whole thing right now. And you can't say, so they have City coming up this weekend. You cannot say they do not have a genuine chance at this point.
No, they have a chance. I just don't think it's as good.
They're 3 points up.
I still think City has a slight edge over them.
Why can't I say that?
They're in better form than
everybody.
More
people are saying City can be win the league than Leicester.
I guarantee. I can see how you might not say Leicester are favorites, but they definitely have a very good chance to win the league.
If Leicester wins against City this weekend, you can't say they're not favorites anymore.
They're
6 points up.
Right, but they also, it's Leicester City we're talking about.
You've been saying that all season, Dave. Right, okay. They've lost two games.
What do you think is going to be more shocking? What do you think will be more shocking? Them slipping down the table or them winning the title?
Honestly,
at this point,
I think losing at this point would be more surprising to me.
Because nobody wants to give them the chance, but they're winning so, it's insane.
And like I said earlier, they've literally probably had no injuries all year.
Yeah, and that's definitely been
lucky. There's still how many games left?
I think there's
14.
They still need to show up every single game, man.
But they have some.
They have a chance.
So does City. So does Arsenal. And apparently, they suck balls.
So let's make a bet. Let's make a bet on the show, Rob. Let's put some money on it.
Fine. What do you want to bet?
City or Leicester? Who will finish higher?
Leicester will win.
Wait, which
who will finish higher? Who will finish higher?
Leicester's gonna win.
You think Leicester will win? How much are you willing to put on it?
I'll bet you Korean barbecue that Leicester wins.
Deal.
All right.
Korean barbecue.
You gotta shake. Yeah. Shake out there.
Shake all on right. it, baby.
I'm all going right. for West Ham. But, no, this is insane, though. I mean, I'm sure, though, you'll still agree. No, I mean, I haven't been watching the Premier League that long, but even hearing pundits, I don't think any team has ever done this before.
No, this is
late
crazy.
In the season.
This is crazy.
And going from basically relegation last year to this.
They were in last place this time last year.
Yeah.
Just a heads up, if City wins this weekend, they're in first.
Yeah, I know, but they'll be tied on points.
Just wondering.
And that's funny, the league is not over, but yeah, if City wins and then they keep winning, they still have to keep winning, and Man City hasn't shown that they can always win. Who knows? If Aguero gets injured, they're screwed too. Manchester City should win the league. I think we all agree they should win the league. And man,
that's what we said about Chelsea at the beginning of the year.
Oh my God. I think at this point, Leicester is a bigger story than Chelsea. But yeah, who do we want to go to next? There's still a lot of interesting stories.
So Arsenal dropped points to Southampton. So Arsenal, as usual, starting to slip
up. They didn't lose, but they dropped.
They drew 0-0. So they're in fourth place now. But I mean, they were a couple weeks ago. They were first and second. Yeah. So you know they're slipping up pretty easily.
Oh, but we have to talk about the weekend game. So when they played Chelsea and they did lose, and this is a Chelsea team that you know, right?
I think we were talking about
Chelsea played Watford, man.
Yeah. Come on.
This is 2 weeks ago. Come on, get up to date.
Stick to your own league, Sean. Damn. Stick to your own league, all right?
really sucks.
Tottenham got a 3-0 Tottenham got a 3-0 win over Norwich. So Tottenham's actually up to third now. I'll go over the table in a minute, but City got a 1-0 win over Sunderland. So, you know, that was a kind of a squeaker, but I didn't see it. I'm sure they probably dominated in terms of possession or shots or chances. West Ham got a 2-0 win over Aston Villa. Swansea and West Brom drew 1-1. Bournemouth got a 2-1 win over Palace. And Manchester United got a 3-0 win over Stoke.
How did they play, though? That's the question.
They played very well. This is like one of the games that like people were like, this is how they should be playing.
Yeah. And so I think that's the big thing. Not necessarily the scoreline, but that they actually played well.
Yeah. I mean, apparently in the Derby FA Cup game, like, the crowd was really, really, really behind them. And I think it just amped them up. And they played pretty well against Derby. Granted, they're a championship team. But after that game, I noticed on Twitter, like, tons of the players were all like, this is going to be a stepping stone. And then they just wrecked Stoke. So hopefully they just keep it up.
Season,
yeah, I mean, next game, we'll find out. If they can string, like, a couple of these in a row, then you can
consistency has always been the thing.
But they won 3-0. Martial is just... I honestly think he's one of the biggest transfers of the window, I think. Of the Premier League.
Yeah,
this year.
I mean, think about it. When have we talked about Sterling?
Yeah.
Like, barely. Martial has been one of the
obviously, De Bruyne.
Vardy.
You know, Vardy.
Well, he wasn't a transfer. Yeah. Was he? Did they buy him?
No, I think he's been on Leicester.
And then you think about, who are the big transfers? Firmino? Not really.
Jesus.
Sterling.
Just started to do good, Firmino. So anyway, Martial had a goal and an assist. His goal was nasty. It was one of those dipping shots that you thought was curling. Like, it was really weird. It was like a curler that had dip on it. It was ridiculous. Yeah. It was a nasty shot. Lingard had a nice tap in, and Rooney had a nice curler as well. Rooney had a goal and an assist. So, you know, they're playing, and again, Cameron Borthwick-Jackson started a defense. So it's just like...
Oh, man.
Anyway, they're fine in defense, apparently, with Varela and McNair as their two substitute defenders.
Oh, man.
So they got a 3-0 win over Stoke, who's been playing pretty well, and they just had a...
Well, Stoke has overall been playing well, but recently I feel like they haven't been getting great results, although...
They've had big wins against bigger clubs.
Or just draws. Like
big,
Go to the next day. Everton got a 3-0 win over Newcastle. And Chelsea drew Watford 0-0. That game was kind of boring from what I watched of it. It wasn't much going on in that game. But the Everton Newcastle, I mean, Newcastle's one of the only clubs to spend, I think, a decent amount of money.
Yeah.
In yeah, and they got off to an awful start in the window. And, you know, they're one of the teams that are trying not to get relegated. So they got smoked by Everton, which I think Lukaku got hurt. I could have swore Lukaku got hurt. I'm not sure how bad. Everton got a big win. I mean, they've been kind of struggling a little bit for points, so they need to step it up.
Totally underwhelming overall, but.
But yeah, so, you know, this weekend, I'll give you just a heads up on the fixtures this weekend. Probably the big game is going to be Leicester City and Manchester City. Again, if City wins this, it'll be a top Leicester. Saturday at 7:45.
Another one.
And then Stoke Everton should be a pretty good game. That should be a good one to watch as well. And then Sunday, Man U Chelsea at 11 o'clock.
It's going to be a good game, too. It's
going to be a bigger game. So, let's look at the table here for a minute.
Well, who do
so,
you think is favorites in Man U Chelsea?
Man U.
It's got
Man U's going to be a favorite, but Chelsea, I mean, like,
coming off that,
I mean, it'll be a good game. I think it'll be a really good game. Costa, I think it'll be a good game because Costa is always likely to do dumb stuff. So.
I'm surprised they drew. I know Watford's been doing well, but I'm just surprised. I'm still surprised they drew.
So I mean, looking at the table, Leicester's in first, 50 points. All right, City's in second with 47. Tottenham's in third with 45. Arsenal's tied with Tottenham with 45 for fourth. Man U's in fifth with 40. And then West Ham's in sixth with 39. And Southampton, Liverpool are in seventh and eighth with 34. So, you know, again, Leicester's in first by 3 points, one
Wait,
win.
What was that? Who's in first?
They don't. I mean, goal differential, they would lose out to City and Tottenham right now. So, you know, this weekend's game will be interesting. I mean, yeah. Should be good. I didn't see where it was. I can let you know in a minute.
Yeah.
So, okay. Man, so if they went in there and got anything, that would be pretty huge.
This is what makes or breaks teams.
knowing Leicester, how Leicester's been going, Aguero probably won't play. Silva will probably be knocked out and, like, you know, get injured and sub off. Dude, and, you know.
Even if City is missing Aguero and whatever, I don't care. Leicester even being this close.
Leicester just needs a draw. If they can go there and get a draw, they're in phenomenal position.
If they get a draw, who cares?
Position.
That's a draw.
So, yeah. I mean, that pretty much sums it up for England.
Okay, so that'll do it for the first half. We will catch you after the break.
Kiss the Crest is part of the Commentist Network, which is a collection of great podcasts covering a wide range of topics, from tech news to music to Dungeons and Dragons to veganism and positive living. For more information about Kiss the Crest or to check out our other great shows, go to thecommentist.com.
Welcome back. We're going to get right into our topic of the day, which is the January transfer window. So it officially closed, I believe, Monday of this week. And now we've looked over a lot of the transfers and loans and nothing happened.
Not much going on.
Yeah.
Not much going on.
Just so I guess we'll start off a little bit in the Premier League, because one thing you should know, they're going to have a record-breaking TV contract. I mean, the Premier League
has it started, though?
I don't think it started,
it's
but maybe
season.
They know they're going to get the money. So because of that, they have more money to spend. And literally, as far as I know, out of the big transfers, there were like two actual buys and four loans. Like, there was nothing major that happened in the Premier League, considering they're getting a record amount of money. It's insane how little has happened. Granted, it is the January transfer window, so most good players aren't going to leave in January. I mean, unless you have ridiculous money or something like that.
Yeah.
It's probably not going to happen. They're probably going to play in Champs League, so they want to wait till the end of the season.
Yep.
At least play the season out. So it makes sense a bit, but I'm just surprised that there were this few number of transfers. So, I mean, honestly, looking at the big transfers, I guess the biggest ones would be there were no major buys by anybody. I don't know if you guys have any.
I mean, the Stoke bought that Mbula from Porto for a decent amount. I think it was like 20-something million. That was probably one of the biggest transfers money-wise in the Premier League. Then a couple of names, like Dombia went to Newcastle. Mm-hmm. He's a good player. It was on loan, which is kind of weird. So Roma loaned him to Newcastle. But yeah, I mean, the rest of it really was just, you know, little minor deals, you know, minor loans and players that aren't going to really help a lot of teams, you know, contend for a title or stuff like that, or move up from.
I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I know there's going to be a lot. One thing also you got to keep in mind, there's a lot of coaching changes happening in summer, and coaches only want the players right. that they want. Yeah. So that might be a reason. I mean, I believe Man U didn't buy a single player. I mean, a lot of clubs bought some random players. Like yeah. Leicester got a few, and Liverpool had one, but none of them like major players. But I don't think Man U. Oh, William Keane?
No, he's a youngster. He probably got loaned.
Oh, yeah. He got loaned. So, I mean, literally no buys considering the place and the money they have. I mean, obviously they got to figure out who their new coach is. I don't think City did anybody. Basically nothing of interest.
I mean, the U.S., De Jong.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, so there are two big things that happened. One was LA Galaxy just swooping in for players, yeah. and the other was China getting everybody mm-hmm. they could possibly get and paying obscene amounts for players. So so China ended up getting from. There were a few moves in Italy. El Shaarawy went from Milan to Roma on loan, and has scored 2 goals in 2 games and seems to be finding his place there. Ashley Cole moved to the LA Galaxy from Roma. Freddy Guarin and Gervinho both went to China. Gervinho ended up going for 18 mil, which is pretty significant. Who were the other guys that went to China?
So Jackson Martinez went to China. Yeah. Ramirez went to China.
I'm pissed about that.
I guess it's not even a full year.
Went in the summer.
So, okay, Jackson Martinez left. Ramirez left. Who just left. There was news of it today. A lot of players, but the difference is there's one big difference between Teixeira, because Teixeira was supposed to go to Liverpool. There's a lot of talks mm-hmm. about that, and then a Chinese club ended up buying him out. I think the big difference, and especially between MLS and China's spending the big bucks to get players who are still in their prime or around their prime. MLS is still getting older players. Ashley Cole is definitely at the end of his career. De Jong isn't like retiree yet, but he's 31, so he can still play.
He was playing well when he played.
Yeah, so he's still later end of his career. Gerrard, who they just got, and Lampard, obviously they're towards the end of their careers. But China's paying the big bucks to get those younger players, most of which haven't made their name in Europe yet. Most of them. I mean, Ramirez, maybe you could say, but he's also towards his end. And they've been paying, I mean, Teixeira was 50 million euros. Jackson Martinez was 42. Yeah. I forget how much Ramirez was, but it was a lot. And even, you know, Gervinho going for 20. They're spending a lot of money. And I think what's going to happen, I mean, I assume they're on high wages too. All these players go there to get big money, and then they come back after a year. Because, I mean, not to sound terrible, but I don't think these players want to be in China. As dumb as it sounds, like, at least players who go to MLS, I mean, living in New York City, living in LA, living in Miami, those are nice lives to live. A lot of these players going to Chinese cities that are highly polluted and stuff, they don't want to live there. That's not, and it's not like it's completely inviting to Europeans in general. So we'll see what happens. But the real story is all these Chinese clubs splashing the cash. I don't even know who owns these places, but it must be owned by big name Chinese individuals, because this is crazy that they have this much money to spend. Yeah. I mean, there's more money probably going through China than Europe overall. I mean,
for this transfer window anyway, yeah, for sure.
But think about it. The biggest transfers in summer in Europe were like 50 million. Firmino, I think, was 50 million. Sterling, around 50. I mean, they're rivaling the biggest transfers in Europe.
Yeah.
It's insane that they can spend this much money. But hey, China's doing well. Their economy's doing well.
No, as a player, especially if you're not getting time. Like,
yeah.
Why not?
I don't know. I don't know what happened with Jackson Martinez. Something else must have happened, because he was there. And I think they clearly wanted him because they spent a decent amount of money on him, and he hasn't played at all. I mean, he's played very little. I think he had 2 goals, and he's barely shown up. I don't think Simeone likes him for whatever reason, because he hasn't been playing. But
asshole took him from Milan.
I mean, I hate to say it, but it might have been his choice. I mean, Atletico, you have a much better chance of titles than in Milan.
Yeah,
but
worse.
I don't know. Do you think Chinese? I mean, China can keep this up. I mean,
I mean, it's been going on for a while. Like Eto went over there when, like, 4, 5, 6 years ago.
There have been. I mean, started with like Eto, Anelka.
Yeah.
Drogba went for a little bit. Drogba went. It's actually interesting. I think Drogba is staying at Montreal. There was rumors of him going to Chelsea to do assistant coaching, but he's not. So you're
staying
seeing...
to play?
Yeah.
Or to coach?
No,
to
his contract.
Coach. Yeah, no, he's done playing.
Drogba?
No, sorry. He's done playing at Chelsea. Right. He's going to coach at Chelsea.
Right, but he's still playing.
Right.
But it's interesting seeing, you do see the difference. Almost all the people who went to China left pretty quickly. But in America, they're staying.
To your point, though, I mean, no one wants to live there. It's just like, hey, I'll just fill my pockets for a year and play there.
Honestly, these players, nothing's guaranteed, so why not? And the clubs are willing to do it. I mean, if you get 50 million euros, you can buy a lot of players for that money.
Yeah.
So it's crazy that this is happening. And apparently New York City FC is targeting Casillas, who, he didn't do that great at Real Madrid towards the end, but he's still, I mean, it's – Iker Casillas, he would be a great buy. And you're starting to see some of these clubs building up a decent number of retirees. I mean, De Jong, Cole, well, I don't know about Cole, but you have De Jong, Gerrard, and...
Just looking at, I was going to mention this. They have Ashley Cole, who he just signed, right? They have Robbie Rogers, who's one of the more known U.S. players. Yeah. They just got Van Damme from Standard Liège in Belgium, was like one of their best teams. He's a good player, Van Damme. They have Giovanni Dos Santos, who they just got last season. They have Gerrard, and they still have Zardes, who's one of the top American strikers. Robbie Keane, who's a legend. I mean, they're definitely going to be the team to beat in terms. And now De Jong. I mean, they're going to be the team.
I've been saying this for a while though. Like I'm fine with. The MLS becoming a retiring grounds for big players. Like, we've traveled a couple times to see big name players play here in New York. And I have no problem. Like, these are all players I've been watching for 10 years now. It's like, I have no problem seeing them in, past their prime, come here and playing live. Like,
I totally agree, especially because, in my opinion, unless there's some international league that's created, it is
you're literally never impossible to get the
best players. Because if you can't play in Champions League, if you're one of the top players, you want to go where you can play
Champions League. Champions League is always the
goal. I mean, there's enough trouble being in Europe and not in Champions League. Like, Liverpool trying to get players. Never mind going to China or America. You're just not going to get them in their prime unless you spend all that money. Right. And even the people they're buying, I mean, Teixeira is supposed to be good. Jackson Martinez is supposed to be good. But they're not. They haven't proven themselves in the top European clubs yet. So, these aren't the top of the top.
Right.
But... I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it's cool to see. If LA was closer, I would definitely go to an LA Galaxy game.
Go watch them when they come over to New York.
Yeah, NYCFC. I mean, they're getting more and more players. That'll be a crazy. It'll be like an all-star game of all old European players.
I'm fine with that. Fine with that.
It'll be fun to watch. And
seeing these players come to MLS makes me want to watch some.
Yeah,
MLS
a little
games.
More. I agree. It's an interesting strategy, and they are bringing up a lot of American players. I mean, some of them are leaving. Like we said, Miazga left.
I've never heard of these people.
I've never either. But apparently he's good, so whatever. Chelsea got him, so he must be worth something. But there are a few other players that went to Europe. Apparently, Tim Howard might be at the end of his run at Everton. I think he's the most capped keeper.
Yeah, he's going to go to MLS.
They were saying Colorado Rapids.
Oh, nice.
But the funny thing is, I feel like he's still good enough to play the Premier League. Like, he had some pretty good games.
He's had a pretty good
season. He didn't do as well as he should have, but he's still... considering Guzan's at Aston Villa, I feel like...
I mean, there's no reason why he wouldn't play a backup keeper for another year or two at Everton, the way he's been playing, right?
Yeah. I have to mention it just because Victor Valdez is going to Standard Liège or Liège. I don't know. I can't think off the top of my head a player who's had such a fall from grace. You think about at Man U, even as, whatever veterans like Rooney and stuff that are there that are storied, no one has even close to the number of medals. He has a World Cup, Champions League, league titles, Copa del Rey, and he hasn't played a single minute. Ever since he left Barcelona, he got injured. He never played, and then he was at Man U, and he never played. Like, I can't remember the last player that's had this quick just going nowhere. Well, and sucks. I believe he's on loan because nobody will buy him because he hasn't played in forever. So it's understandable, but... whatever. Stuff happens. It's football. But that'll do it for this week. We hope to see you next week. You can catch us. We are Kiss the Crest on iTunes. You can look us up. You can also go to thecommentist.com where you can find some other great podcasts like
Roll the Hit,
The Unwind,
Bearded Vegans,
Sky on Fire
is a new show. Fire. Yeah,
we got some new shows coming in, so we hope to see you there, and we hope to see you next week.
I also
want to
promote my new podcast, The Vardy Party.
Every week,
Vardy,
till the cops show up.
Okay, bye.